Welcome back, everybody, to Independent Incidentals with your pal, your friend, your compadre, your amigo, your, what's the other translations? I don't care. it's me, the one and only, of course. Your guide and your entire understanding of the games industry is through me, you see. Also, I had to turn on sync. Come on, Google, what are we doing here? All right. Here's the fun part. I don't have a script. That's what I'm going to put out right at the gate. But I've been playing a lot more game. So maybe that's a good trade-off. Who knows? We have the general idea. We have the general thesis, the general layout, template, whatever you want to call it, of the show. All we have to do is follow that template and we're good to go, right? Right, of course. Let me quickly get my water real quick, and then I'll make the Instagram reel, and then we'll get started.
Where is he? Help me! Help!
All right. Okay. I'll have you know I ran all the way. All the way from my apartment, which is approximately, give or take, 20 minutes from the studio to here. Normally, it works because I have a lecture before then, but I didn't have this time because we then went through the final course, fun. So, let's get that Instagram reel on Independent Incidentals at Independent Incidentals on Instagram, of course. So, let's see. Cool. Put it on a little camera. You know I never miss a week. Tune in right now. Now you know you wanna. You're so right, me. You're so right. I didn't realize how right you could be, me. Tune in now. It's the final week. Final week before the end of the term. Term. That's how you spell it, yeah. There we go, and then add the link. The fun part, it's, what is it called? RadioLaurier.airtime.pro. If you want to listen live, if you're listening on to the recording right now, if you want to listen live, all you have to do is go to RadioLaurier.airtime.pro, and you can tune in. You, the viewer, can tune in. But that's besides the point. If you're following me, you already know that. So I don't need to explain it more thoroughly. Let's go to the... Yeah. That's how we do it. I share it with all my personal followers because, you know, they don't follow me. They got more important things to do. I'm a man of the people. I'm not a man of... forcing you to follow me at Independent Incidentals on Instagram? Of course not. Your following ratio is more important. Absolutely. I cannot try to force your hand. Not directly, anyway. So, welcome back. Last week, well... For the past couple of weeks, we've been pretty much covering all roguelike games. Games like Slay the Spire, Faster Than Light, even Rogue itself, the godfather of all roguelikes. Now, of course, we can't keep talking about roguelikes. That's a bit too much, right? We gotta change it up a bit. And thankfully, I've been intrigued, entranced in another game. This game, either is called, one moment, I just need to send the Instagram reel to my personal account so everyone else can tune in whenever they feel like it. I just need, Instagram needs to fix this. I'm sorry. I'm angry posting right now, but they need to fix this. They need to fix the idea of being able to easily tag people in stories so that I can share it. I just want to share it with myself. Come on. Share it between accounts. It should be easy. It should be easy, but no, they make it extremely difficult because why? Why would they make it easy? Why would they make it easy, you know? That's the thing about these social media platforms. If they haven't noticed already, they feed off of you getting angry, getting furious at the algorithm. It drives up their attention. And more people will want to join it. For the engagement bait, don't you understand? Don't you get it? Run while you can. Put a website blocker or something, please. It's already infected your brain. Your brain's full of holes now. Oh, God. What have they done to you? Besides the point, welcome back, everybody, to Independent Incidentals. I'm your host, Dominic, and today, obviously, you know, I'm a bit late. Let's be fair. Okay, you got me. Look, I can't, even though I did come into the studio at exactly 5, doesn't mean I actually got, you know, everything set up at 5. So I will attest to that. That's fine. But today is like a little bonus episode anyway, because we're not covering a roguelike. We're covering a fun little puzzle game that I covered last year. But unfortunately, we didn't get to cover much about it because, you know, when you have a guest, you like the banter. And that's fine. I love the banter too, but, you know. Besides the point, today we're talking about a game called Baba Is You. It's a goofy little name, I know. I told my girlfriend about it, and she immediately laughed at me, in my face, like it wasn't even a real game. But when I told her about it, she did know that it was a game. She did see it before, and maybe you have as well. Baba Is You, practically, is a puzzle game, but it's more esoteric than the average puzzle game. The core mechanic of the game allows you to tamper with the rules of an individual level and allows you to find unique solutions in a game. So, why is it niche? The game was published by, let's see, the game was published and developed by Hempuli, which I believe is the studio that was created by none other than the Finnish game developer Avery Teikarty. Of course, I could be completely butchering that name, and I probably am. But pretty much, basically, it's another independent, like, only one-person developer. So you know it's independent, right? It fits the independent part completely. Incidental, now that's a question, right? Because a lot of people know about this game. A lot of people know about this game. It's one of the best puzzle games, in my opinion, that's been published in the past couple of years. And it's not because of the actual content. There's people who, no offense, of course, are able to make more engaging puzzles. The engaging part about this game, however, is the actual core mechanics, being able to tamper with the rules of the game and make it bend to your will, or make you run into a brick wall 700 times before trying the exact same thing again and again and again. Both are very satisfying in their own contexts. But Avery is from Finland, so he was actually able to also, like in the they're German developers, Grizzly Games. You know, there's a little bit more, you know, infrastructure surrounding arts, and, you know, basically you can go to university for free. Besides the point, I'm not upset or anything. I'm not upset. What are you talking about? Anyway, he is a developer who, guess what, also got his start in game jams. His first published works were based on different game jams that came out. More local game jams, however. These game jams were not online, supposedly, but were actually... Let's see real quick. Again, I don't have a script, so it's going to be a little bit more a stoppy-starty, if you know what I mean. Yeah, so basically, it's not like a normal itch.io game jam. This game jam actually took place in a location where he had to work in the like a specific workstation for a couple of days making the game. The Nordic game jam, for example, took place in Copenhagen. Dock in Copenhagen. 700 people created 144 games. And one of the winner of the jam, very surprisingly, a lot of these games, like Helix, for example, the prototypes of Helix didn't even get recognized, right? But right out of the gate, you know that he had a perfect idea because he won the game jam with his idea of the theme of the game jam was not there. So by using the idea of, you know, changing the world and making things exist and not exist and changing the states and properties of those things, got him the win, got him the dub, which I respect. Now, of course, the idea goes a little bit more deeper than that. A lot of people know this game. Let's actually check. You know what? This is a more streamlined thing. I just want to check the stats real quick. Let's go Steam sales tracker. Steam database, I think. Yeah. Let's go Baba Is You. No. No products mounting your filters. You lied to me, database. You lied to me. You said there'd be everything, but there's only misery here. You liar. I'm getting feral and I break out in hives, start foaming at the mouth, leap at the person who ever developed Steam database. Nah, I wouldn't do that. That's all a hypothetical scenario. I would never do that in real life. Steam sales chart. Oh yeah, it's Steam charts. What's it called again? Damn it. Yeah, Steam charts. Yeah. Let's go Baba Is You. Let's see exactly how many plays this got, cuz I'm a man of the people. I know exactly how to give the audience what they crave. And it seems like if I go to all, this game got surprisingly not as many as I thought it would. Let's see. So overall, the peak was in 2019. The game was released in 2019. The full game was released in 2019. Exactly. Okay. So, the demo was built for the game jam, which then transpired into the 2019 release, and then mobile versions were released in 2021. Surprisingly, they also had the Switch release on the same time, which is surprising because not a lot of people get the ports out right away. Usually, these independent developers start with just uploading it to the PC, then switching over and doing, like, Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo Switch, etc. Also in 2021, they added a level editor. I might try that out sometime. I was too busy actually playing the main campaign, so I haven't been able to try the user-made creations. But I do want to try it sometime. Well, besides the point. So, how do you play the game? What is Baba Is You? Also, I forgot to tell you, I burned my hand. It's not crazy, of course. It's just a little bit of swelling. It's not like it's crazy or anything. It's just like, so let me tell you the quick story real quick. I was making some eggs, right? As a young, prosperous, what'd you call it? University student does, right? And I left, I usually keep the element running while I am cooking. So I turn on the element and I just leave it running for a bit just to make sure it's hot until I put the pan on. But I put the pan to the element next to it and I turned the handle so it was right on top of the element, right? That was active, that was on. So surprisingly, I thought that handles were made so that they wouldn't absorb that much heat, right? Because it would make sense because that's where your damn hand goes, right? That makes sense. That makes sense. But no, apparently it's also conductive. So I literally touched it for a second. I yelped for a bit and I dropped the pan. So I dropped it on. Thankfully, I didn't drop it on anything important. But I had to run my hand over cold water for at least, what was it? I think it was probably 5 minutes. And then I had to finish making the meal because it was still like cooking. So I was like, damn it. I'm very hungry. So I'm like, you know what? I'm sure it's not that bad. I'm going to quickly make a meal. Started swelling a bit more, so I threw it underneath like a nice tub of water for a little bit, and bada bing, bada boom. Again, I'm probably gonna go to the store to get some aloe vera. That'd be nice. But you know what? Actually, I need to double check when the I was gonna say phylactery for a second. What am I, a lich? No, the pharmaceutical, the pharmacy. Is open till. So, for now, you know what? I'm going to find some good Baba Zoo music, and we shall return in a moment. Now, I would describe, the best way to describe this is minimalist. It isn't bad music. I'm just saying it's, like, very contemplative. Like, it's pretty much, you're in the middle of you solving a puzzle. It's kind of like, it's just like a little cartoonist, you know, like, if a cartoon was, like, a little walk-in cycle, you'll understand what I mean when I get to it. Soundtrack. I'm pretty sure the entire OST is actually on, YouTube and also on SoundCloud, yeah. It's on SoundCloud. That's where he originally made it. I think he made it with, like, a... Let me actually check real quick. Because I'm pretty sure he just made it using a free, open-source, DAW, digital audio workspace. So I'm pretty sure... Let's see... Made the soundtrack using OpenMPT. I don't even know what the hell this is, to be honest with you. This was made back in 2007. And, oh, you know, like, it's like an actual, like, programmable thing. It's not like, what would you call it? It's not like it's not MIDI in the sense of, like, you know, you can actually, like, control, like, the bars you move around in the workspace. But these are actually written down. Like, they have, like, it's like, it looks more like a programming terminal than an actual digital audio workstation. Besides the point, let me play a few songs. So this is made by... Wait, this is not him. What the hell's going on here? Maybe he took it off. It doesn't matter. Point is, this was made by Hempooly, because that's his tag, that's his username. And I will play the Baba Zoo theme. And also On the Island. I hope you all enjoy after this fun little advertisement. Another advertisement, of course. Of course, you need to make your money somehow. I understand. I understand, YouTube. I hope you enjoy. And I'll see you in a bit. And that's the problem with doing it on YouTube. To be fair, I was still scouring the web for where I can get my aloe vera, you know, relief. Perhaps, because, look, let's be honest, it's not like, it doesn't hurt that much, it just burns still, like, it's still kind of, like, on and off. Sometimes it's painful, but it's on and off. It just pulsates, it's weird. Besides the point, I'll be fine, audience, don't worry, it's the perfect time, it's cool outside, my hand will get some nice oxygen, we'll also be able to cool off, it's fine, also, I kept my hand in the water for an hour, so if it didn't do anything, then what the hell is wrong with whatever the laws of physics are in order. Besides the point, what is Baba Is You? How do you play the game? And I'll tell you, audience member. Tell me now. The idea, right? Of course, like I mentioned before, is the idea of being able to bend rules. But how do you bend those rules? Well, you have little blocks that are on the actual map, that are on the level that you're in. For example, there might be like little verbs such as is or has, operators like and not, and, you know, verbs such as, or actions such as be properties, I guess you can call them, such as you, push, pull, stop, win, sink, what's a few more, let me think, defeat, and that's pretty much, you know, there's a bunch of other ones like float, fall, there's nouns you can use, like different characters that are part of the game. So basically, there's this very cute art style. The main character, obviously, is Baba, which is you, because, you know, that's like the main statement that you have to keep active for the game to actually function, right? If this line breaks, if nothing is you, then you basically have to lose the game and either restart or redo that action. So basically, the whole level revolves around you trying to find these words that are scattered around the level and trying to put them together to make them win. However, these things are not so simple. You see, you can make Wallace stop, for example, right? Which is the basic, you know, think property of a wall, right? The wall is meant to be stopped because, you know, it's the thing that impasses you from completing the level, right? However, if you break that line of code, you could, in fact, walk through the wall and be able to reach other places that you couldn't reach before. And additionally, even, for example, if you have, like, a win block and you make the statement read, wall is win, instead, then, simply put, if you touch the wall, you win the level, right? Simple enough, right? However, once you add more verbs, like sink and hot and melt and, you know, etc., right? It starts to get a little complicated. And the addition to that as well is that you don't even have to make, you don't have to follow the declination of, what is it, noun is verb. You can also do noun is noun. So, for example, if I have Baba, right, and I want to turn that into, say, I don't know, you can turn them in the grass, you can turn them into a star, you can turn them into a ghost, you can turn them, there's a bunch of different random assets that kind of allow you to see the theming of each different level, right? For example, there's the water level that has jellyfish and, you know, sea stars and coral and a bunch of other different random objects. In the mechanical level, you have robots, cogs, pipes, more brick walls, of course, because that's a very good aspect of capitalist America. And you got a bunch of other ones, too, like space and the abyss and a volcano, for example. All of which has their own special little unique features that you have to understand in order to beat the level. Now, I will also experiment my little experience with this game. The problem is that I realized, again, if you haven't listened already, I'm a bit of a perfectionist. So a lot of the time, when I'm playing a game, I have to beat the entire section in order to feel right in moving on to the next game. But that's not how this game works. Man, I'm telling you, ladles and germs, let me tell you right now to your face. Let me get real close to the mic real quick. These levels are difficult. They get really difficult. Super difficult, in fact. So difficult that you don't even know the beginning of how difficult these levels can get. This is not a normal... This puzzle game does not hold your hand. Don't fall prey to the cute little graphics, okay? This game is evil. It'll break your very mind. It'll get into the soul of your being and tear it apart from the inside out. So just play the easier levels, okay? That's my gift to you. You don't have to play the harder levels. There's little bonus levels you get at the end of each level that allows you to, you know, complete a stage. You don't have to do those. Don't worry. You're not perfect, and that's okay, okay? You're not perfect, and that's fine. You don't have to win. You don't have to win the game. You don't have to beat every single thing. All you have to do is get to the end of the level, and that's all, right? Do what challenges you, and that's the important thing. That's my gift to you. But yeah, there's a lot of nuance to all of the specific mechanics to this game. Like, recently, I was in the, what was it called? The space level, right? And you are in a little blocked-off area where you can't influence all the things. That's the interesting part. The game designer, Arvi? I put the R, the V, and the R because it just sounds more natural. I'm so sorry. Arvi. A-R-V-I. A-R-V-I. It's just A-R-V-I. Arvi. Basically, the idea is that if you don't want, if the game developer doesn't want you to influence anything in the level, all they have to do is block it off, right? If you're making a level in this game, all you have to do is block it off and put the key behind the door so you can never get access to it. Granted, there are ways to bypass this, but we don't need to discuss those ways. Those ways are unknown to me as a human being and as a mere mortal. But basically, right, the idea of this level is that there's a property called fall, where if a object has that property, is if an object has fall, right, if an object is fall, apologies, then they will not actually be able to walk, because this is a flat 2D side, not side scroller, but a top-down game. So you can go anywhere in the level. You can go any direction in the level, and it's fine. However, it turns it into a platformer. Like, literally, if you put, like, for example, Baba is fall, they will fall to the nearest object that is either stop or push. So they'll basically be affected by gravity top-down, which is very annoying. But it makes some interesting mechanics, because in this specific level, you have to bypass, there's a few objects, I think skulls, that were defeat, right? So when you are a character, you cannot pass those, or else your character will be destroyed and the level is over, because there's nothing, you're not controlling anything anymore, right? Nothing is you, so which means you can't do anything anymore. But practically, the idea was that if you are able to fall on top, like fall through it, because the skulls aren't holding you up because they aren't stop, right? If you can fall directly through the skulls when one of the objects you're controlling is not you at that exact moment, then basically you can fall on top of yourself, right? Catch yourself and then be able to pick yourself back up and push it up to the top because you're also open, which allows you to open closed things or shut things, because there's another property called shut, which allows you to open, quote unquote, destroy shut objects. It triggers a bunch of other things, like the has operate that if an object has something, it'll spawn that thing instead of destroying it completely. But besides the point, basically you can fall through the skulls, you can push yourself back up using the fall mechanics, and then be able to get yourself through the door, which I found was a pretty neat little solution. And every time you solve a puzzle, you just like dopamine. A little twinge of dopamine. Like, your little reward receptors are like, ooh, yeah, that felt nice. All right, yeah. I like that. Yeah. All right. That's my interpretation of the rewards and receptors in my brain.
Oh, yeah, Ryan, that's pretty good. Yeah, I feel rejuvenated, really. I really feel revitalized. I feel like a new person.
He's a little goblin. You can't judge him. He's just a little guy. He's just a little guy stuck in your brain. You can't do anything about it. You want to do something about it? You can do something about it, sure. Yeah. Be that way. Sure, right. Yeah, you're gonna take out the little goblin in your brain, and you're gonna crumple him? You're gonna crumple him in little pieces? I'd like to see you try, buddy. I'd like to see you try to crumple the little goblin in your brain. Speaking of little goblins, I think Baba is also a goblin-esque, in a sense. I think they're more of a deer, goat, creature thing. They have little stubby legs, and they have like a... They look... You know what they look like? They look like a guinea pig. I just got reminded of that, yeah. He looks like a little guinea pig with little horns on his end. Looks cute. You know what isn't cute, though? The fun part about this game is that a lot of the Finnish and Norwegian folk kind of intermingle and create new projects up there, which is cool because they have a better human index, but that's besides the point. He pretty much also collaborated with other game developers, right? Which was the inciting incident in creating the game called Noita. Noita is a game that takes place, you're a witch, and she casts spells through a wand. And basically, it's also rooted in Norwegian folklore, which I find is really cool. Finnish, specifically. Finnish mythological creatures, which I think is very neat. Very grotesque as well. The final boss is like a gigantic eyeball that basically looks at you. Not a Terraria eyeball, it's more like a pustule. It's like a pustule, you know? It's like a little pustule. But yeah, I think it's Baba's use a little bit more, you know, calmer, a little bit more cute, a little bit more charming than Noita, of course. However, it also gives me the creeps sometimes because there's like a weird like field level, like it's like a farm level, but like it has a very weird vibe to it. Because I'll play the soundtrack at the end of this episode. But the drone goes, I think that song is called Leaf is Move, if you want to listen to that. Also off the Baba Is You soundtrack. And it gives me the creeps every time I play it, which is why I've never beaten those levels, I think. Because the other ones have more nice chiptune kind of soundtracks. They're nice. And then you have... And it doesn't help whenever you get destroyed, whether your character gets destroyed by walking into a defeat object or by, you know, just getting destroyed by any other means. I think in this game, in this specific level, you get introduced to the weak attribute, which basically means that if you walk into any object that has the push or stop properties, then your character just gets destroyed. Basically, that's the idea, right? Or whatever character/object has the weak property. Of course, you can also switch between, right? Because the main idea is Baba is you, right? However, you can also, in some interesting contexts, you can also change who the perspective is of the person. So, for example, if I put flag as you, if there's a flag on the screen, then I'll gain control of the flag and be able to move the flag instead. Which is very neat. I think, personally, that's very neat as a core concept, which is the main reason why I like this game. Problem was is that I was a kid when I got it in, like, what was it, 2019, I think, give or take? So, you know, I was a child, so I didn't really know much better, so I wasn't able to finish most of the levels because of also my perfectionism, so you know how it is. I'm not much better, but I just remember more, and I'm able to use that more effectively. I'm able to use the information more effectively. So, you know, maybe children shouldn't be playing video games, you know? Maybe they shouldn't be playing Call of Duty constantly, because it shapes their worldview, and they should be playing Baba's You instead. That's a lie. I think that's perfectly normal and fine. The design of the characters, that's what we were talking about specifically, was created specifically from the idea of the Booba and Kiki effect. Baba is Booba, which is funny if you're of any sort of resemblance to Twitch or anything like that. But basically, the Booba and Kiki effect is the idea that more, you know, softer words like pillow or, I don't know, feather sound more soft because they don't have plosives in them. But if something like hard or tough or steel, right? Those sound more aggressive, which is Kiki, specifically. So Baba, right, is a more rounded character. They have stubby little legs. That even their horns are blunted. They don't have that much, you know, edges to them. And Kiki doesn't really have that much... Keke doesn't have that much either, but Keke also, you know, has very spindly legs. They have more straight-out legs. They're more ovular rather than round, if you know what I mean. And they're also red, which makes you make them feel more aggressive, etc., etc. But pretty much, that is the core concept of Baba is You. However, there's a bunch of more things I wish to discuss. For example, on Itch, there's a cool little game called, what is it called? Baba is You Into the Breach. A mobile suit Baba by the same developer, which is very cool because he was able to make a, you know, entire new game using the same core concepts, but just by, you know, meshing two ideas together, which I find is really cool. So basically, in Into the Breach, you have a bunch of bugs that come out of the ground. I think I've talked about this in the Fast and Light episode if you want to watch that again. But basically, in this game, however, you are a bunch of mechs that are fighting the skulls by being able to modify different texts in the level. And there's a little quest on the top right on the top of the each level, which you was required for you to win. It also does. It's a little bit more relaxed than Into the Breach. There's no like cataclysm or anything like that. It's just like, oh no, the skulls have are gonna take over the world. We gotta stop them. Etc., etc. It's not like an infinite loop where it's misery and torment every single timeline or anything like that. I don't think there's even timelines in this game, so you know what? It's not really that much. It's not that much like Into the Breach. It's more puzzly than Into the Breach, for sure. Into the Breach, you have more, like, you have to actually manage stuff and, like, you know, access resources and all that kind of stuff. In Mobile Suit Baba, it's pretty much modifying the different rule sets in the specific levels and also being able to, you know, use your brain a little bit rather than just going through the motions, which I like. It's neat. It's neat. I like it. It's a fun little. It's a fun little spin-off. It's like what? How much is it exactly? It's $4 USD, so it's about $5. You get it on sale. It's like $2. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I like it. You might like it too. So give it a play if you have the time and the cash. If you want to play Baba's You, of course, as well. It is only $15 American, which is about, you know, $18, maybe $20. It's all right. Look, again, get it on sale, and it's pretty much worth your money, because it's like, more than at least 80 levels per for the entire game. It's like 80 levels, each level takes about 10 minutes per, that's like 800 minutes right there, and I haven't beat it yet, and there's an entire workshop if you want to try out new levels that are made by the community, so if you want to give it a shot, it's called Baba Is You. If you want to give a shot with, you know, Mobile Suit Baba, that's on the store as well. Give it a play. Give it a try. Support independent developers, like I always say. That's the whole damn point of the show! I'm crashing out. I'm crashing out again. I can't stand these people supporting the AAA industry when it's dogmatic and practically, you know, unfunctional in this current economy. I can't do it anymore. I can't do it. It doesn't matter. You play whatever you want, of course. But, you know, don't come crying to me when your games are taken away from you. You see what they're doing to Fortnite? Hold on. There's something I wanted to talk about with Fortnite, but I forget what it was. Fortnite. No, I don't think there was. You know what? I don't think there was. I don't understand it anymore, man. I used to like it, like, a year ago. Because it was, like, it's alright. Like, oh, cool, there's, like, these new mechanics I can, like, you know, hone in. It's not like a normal FPS where you just, like, run and shoot. There's, like, more strategy to it. And more mechanical, interesting stuff. And, you know, fun colors on the screen. Yay, whippy, yahoo, etc. But I don't... Epic Games is already a bad company as a whole. I hate supporting them. Because they're just running the entire industry into a hole. They're not as bad as other companies. I'll be honest. I'll be fair. But it's like, you know, like, my morals can't support it, in a sense. Of course, I don't want to get on my high horse. Again, play the games whenever you want. I don't care too much. Just at the same time, make sure you're also building up the little smaller games that are, you know, making more strides in the industry than any other AAA can. Because at the end of the day, games for these companies are a bank, right? they invest the ideas that will succeed without any fail into the games that they think will succeed, right? So if you support younger developers, the cycle can be broken and you can eventually make your own conclusions and like your own things rather than whatever the filth and gunk they feed you. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying. Besides the point. Like, you know, here's the thing, right? If you like FPSs, there's a bunch of new hip FPS games that are making, like, new strides in the concepts. Like, I don't know, what's it called? Ultra Kill, for example. Great, fantastic game. There's also a bunch of other ones that are off the top of my dome. I think the one with the cards, I forget what it was called. But if even that's not your tea, there's so many other ones. There's so many other ones. It's the direction that the industry is going, right? And if you want games to be another Hollywood, then be my guest. But games are special, and we should treat them as such. Movies are quadruple million-dollar budget products that are, you know, meant to make money in a sense, right? The good ones succeed, the bad ones fail. They're just meant to, you know, touch the audience in a way. That is to say that there's new strides made in developments and all that fun stuff that are made into the movie industry as a whole. The film industry is growing and growing, which I enjoy. But I'm getting into a tangent again. So let's read some reviews of Baba's You. The main idea, so let's go over the positives real quick. It won the Nordic Game Jam, of course, for the beta, for the demo of the game. In the first award it won was the Selmus McNally Grand Prize and won Best Student Game and Excellence in Design at the IGF Awards. Pretty good. Pretty good. No, that's so the IGF Awards is separate from the Selmus McNally Grand Prize. I'm assuming the Selmus McNally Grand Prize is actually something that's in Finland. I have no clue, actually. Besides the point, the IGF Awards is basically award shows that happens or used to happen or does happen every year just to award the independent industry, the Independent Games Festival. It's what it's called. The Golden Joysticks Awards, of course, it won Best Indie Game. It won Indie Game of the Year at the Titanium Awards. It won the Game Awards in 2019. Here's the thing. Game Awards, Golden Joystick Awards, all these Game Awards, again, are kind of, what's the word, advertisements. So, you know, they're fun. They're good. I mean, in the hole that E3 left back in, what was it, 2020, I believe. I mean, it was already out the door in 2019, to be fair. But it kind of officially died out in 2021 when everyone else was doing their own, you know, games showcases because they could do that now because they have bigger budgets and they don't have to rely on one single conference specifically. But besides the point, it got an 84 on Metacritic for the Switch port and the 87 for the PC port. And let's see the lowest review. Game Informer expressed dissatisfaction with the overcomplication that arises from compounding the variables at later stages of the game, which has resulted in exhausting and unsatisfying gameplay. Now, this is interesting because I view it as, obviously, maybe exhausting in a way, because it teases your brain in such a way that you have to think on several different layers, right? But I will also say that what they say here, that the fact that the language gets more complex is also fair, because I feel like when you are throwing in a new concept, you have to describe to the player exactly what that concept does in a controlled setting. And there's kind of edge cases where two properties conflict. Like, for example, if a object is sync and also an object is, what's the word, you know, float, what does it do, right? It doesn't do anything because it's floating in the air, so it can't sink anything. That's the idea. But specifically with other concepts, there's a lot of assumed things you kind of have to, like, gander by experimenting with it. But at the same time, I like that kind of thing, you know? a lot of these games like to hold your hand, and it's like, this is exactly what it does. And if you don't follow exactly what I had in mind, you're not going to get the right answer. So just quit the game already. But in this game, it's like, yeah, no, you just experiment with the concepts. Enjoy it. Figure out what each little thing does and try to play around with it. Try to figure out what weak does in the context when all the text is falling, for example. Or perhaps even, figure out how to get this, wedge this specific line of code inside a small box where you have to, like, you know, file it in a specific order in order to make sure it fits properly. And also you don't, like, sink into the water because, you know, the text can float over the water in this specific level. Among a bunch of other things, right? Which is why I like this game so much. It's so intuitive in its design. You know exactly what it's asking you. Even if the game language gets a little complex, the first few levels are dedicated precisely to getting the concepts down, understanding how these specific properties work with each other, and trying to find your own conclusions. You don't have to have the game hand-holding you every time. Even if it's exhausting and unsatisfying, I don't believe that it doesn't have to be. Because the puzzle game breeds the specific form of player that expects the game to give you the exact rules. But in this game, you make the rules. You forge the rules from these blocks that the game gives you, right? So I just think this game is a very well put together, outstanding puzzle game. It's a game that inspires the craft for other puzzle games. It opens the door for other puzzle games. It's the portal of the 2010s, in my opinion, right? Granted, maybe not the same budget, but that's besides the point. Valve was a different developer back then. Who knows? Maybe they technically classify under the independent level label back in the, I don't know, the 2000s, for example. Who knows? But that's for a different episode. But for now, this is the final episode for the season. I don't know when we'll be back exactly, but I'm assuming it's going to be somewhere around mid-January. So stay tuned. I hope you all have a fantastic holiday, and I hope you all are staying safe and toasty and warm inside your little huts, you know? Make a little hot chocolate, read a book or something, have a good time with your family, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying. But with that, I'll leave you with the kind of creepy little, what is it called? Leaf is move, and cog is push. I'll see you all sometime in the future. See y'all around, everybody.